Congratulations, you've just tuned to Catholic Radio Done Differently. And how so, I hear you ask? Well, let me tell you, on this show we do comedy combined with catechism, conversation combined with culture, call-ins combined with honor check, like nothing else you will get anywhere else, okay? I promise you that. I mean, where else are you going to get bishops and priests, atheists and non-Catholics of variety of stripes, writers and academics, investigative journalists and magicians, filmmakers and comedians, and even experts on UFOs and ancient astronauts? I mean, come on. From NASA in the future to Newgate Prison in the past, from light pollution to sunken slave ships, the wisdom of St. John of the Cross to Mardi Gras and Mobile, we have it all here, especially for you. In short, there's nothing in the known universe or universes yet unknown that is out of bounds, because we on this show are as curious as we are Catholic. So welcome to the Turley Frequency. And what's on the show today? Well, let me tell you about that. My next guest coming up is Nicole Abbasino, who is the founder and CEO of Gabriel's Messenger Films. That's right. And not only is she a filmmaker, but she's a very interesting backstory of when God entered her life. You're going to have to stick around for that. At the top of the hour, we have the Divine Mercy Chaplist. Join us for that, either by listening and praying or by phoning in your requests on 888-928-0881 or text us on 251-928-2111. The lines are open now. What have you got to lose? We conclude story time today with the gentle tale of St. Catherine, the Lily of the Mohawks, a soul as misunderstood by this world as she was beautiful to the eyes of the Lord. That's coming up in our final segment. So, are you ready to tune in to Catholic Talk Radio, bringing you from this world to the next? Good! In which case, let's get this show on the road! Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting very confused about eggs. You're getting confused about eggs? Eggmageddon is happening before our eyes. The price of eggs has gone through the roof. We had a caller on from California the other day, from San Francisco, complaining about the price of eggs. I don't blame them. The price of eggs in this country as well has gone through the roof. But here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I have gone through different incarnations when it comes to eggs. When I was growing up, eggs were supposed to be good things. You ate eggs because they had lots of protein and they were good for you. You go to work on an egg, all the rest of it. And then suddenly, eggs became the culinary equivalent of public enemy number one. Why so? Well, they were supposed to be full of cholesterol and other bad stuff, and you were not supposed to eat more than one egg a week, if that. Well, I don't know about you. I thought, well, that's the case. Eggs are bad. I'll leave eggs alone. And then something happened to me a few years ago. I've mentioned it before. I broke my shoulder, do you remember? It was a pretty nasty break, and I was lying in bed, and the bones were going to be really difficult to heal. And a friend of my wife had had a tennis injury. She'd injured some bone in her arm or hand or wrist. I can't remember which. And her doctor had said to her, eggs. Eggs are the key to getting your bones healed. Right. And my wife heard this and we both agreed, well, we'd give it a go. So I went on this egg diet. So every single day when I was trying to recover, I would have three eggs. Yeah, three, which is triple the amount I'm supposed to have per week. And I'd have that every day. And you know what? Didn't do me any harm whatsoever. In fact, I think, I mean, my shoulder eventually healed, thanks to the Lord and thanks to a lot of people's prayers. But I do think that it gave me a whole different understanding of eggs, right? I started thinking, well, eggs maybe are a pretty good thing. And I have to say, before I came on this show today, I had a couple of boiled eggs and I really, really enjoy them. And I heard somebody on the radio the other day talking. He was a doctor of some sort. I don't know what, medical or otherwise. But he was talking about that eggs were misunderstood, that eggs were actually a superfood, right? And they were nature's superfood and we needed to eat these eggs. Well, You can imagine my joy, surprise, when I saw this morning in the New York Times that they had an article called It's Time for a Reality Check on Eggs. Now, the article was begun because of the rising price of eggs. That's why the New York Times is writing about eggs. But what it was also doing was alerting everybody to the benefits of eggs, or entering into the debate of eggs. Are eggs good for you? Are they not good for you? Are they the cause of heart disease? Are they not the cause of heart disease? So listen, I can talk about eggs for the next 10-15 minutes, but what I'm really interested in is your views on eggs. And you can call in anytime. And on anything else, remember, this first 20 minutes is open lines. Anything on your mind this morning, you call me, we can talk about it. You want to talk about moon landings? You want to talk about UFOs? We had the UFO, Bill Murphy on yesterday. Wasn't he interesting? You want to talk about what's happening in Alabama? You want to talk about Mardi Gras? You want to talk about the masked reveler who I was reading about in AL.com and his insight into these secret societies, that these masked balls that are taking place across Alabama. And we had Doris on the other day who wants to join one. If you can tell me how she can join one, maybe how I can join one. Call us, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111. Hello. Or if you just...
It's me.
Oh, no, not you again. I don't know if you realize who that is. That's Adele, and Reed and Mike keep playing it. Because, you know, I told the story about when I lived above Adele, yeah, in London. I know, it's a crazy story. I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned it. Not so far, anyway. She's probably keeping it under wraps. Next Grammy, she'll be mentioning it, I'm sure. Especially if I have anything to do with it. Anyway, back to eggs. And remember, lines are open, 888-928-0881. Time for us to take the temperature on our eggs.
Hey, Kevin, I don't mean to interrupt your exciting story, but we do have someone who's
Reed,
wanting to
Reed,
give
Reed,
their opinion.
Reed, just before, that was almost a yoke.
Exactly.
Almost a yoke.
We better be careful or we're going to get... We're going to get the...
You cracked it. You really did crack it this morning.
We're going to get the comedy police on us. They're going to take us off.
Not again. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
Okay, but we do have somebody who wants to give their input. I'll go ahead and put you through to them.
Oh, yes, a caller.
Hello.
First thing.
Hello.
I love it. Who have we got on the line?
Hello. Yes, this is Claude. I called last week talking about you know, and doing a series from the First Primitive Church of Brooklyn. I called last week. I tried to call yesterday. I could not get through. I don't know if there's something wrong with your phones or whatever. But listen, there was a gentleman, one of your priests, he called on your morning show. He was talking about, I believe it was infant baptism. And I wanted to call and call him out on it. Call him out on it. Why in the name of God would you do something like this to a little baby? He doesn't know what's going on. You're pouring water over his head and baptizing him. This isn't even biblical.
Claude,
yes.
First of all, thank you for calling us again here on Archangel Radio. We love having you call. You called last week. You're a non-Catholic, and you called in. You wanted to explore some of the teaching of the Catholic Church. Fantastic. That's why we're here in Archangel. We love it when people call in and ask us questions. And, you know, there's no question that you can't ask us on air. We're very happy to answer it. And you will always get an answer which we hope is faithful and true to the magisterium of the Catholic Church. And that's why we're here. So ask me a question, Claude, rather than you. So you've made your observation. You don't agree with it. I get that.
You're from
the First Primitive Church of Brooklyn or whatever it is. That's fine. We in the Catholic Church, we have an ancient tradition of baptizing infants, and it goes right the way back.
I understand it, but what I'm asking is, where is this in the Bible? See, here's the thing. These little babies... These little tiny infants are having water poured on their head, being baptized, and they don't have, they're not of the age, obviously not of the age, where they can accept Christ into their lives and know fully what he did for us. They don't get it. They don't understand. Their whole lives, what was I baptized? I don't know, just Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. They don't understand it until they're of the age where they can understand it. That's why I don't get it.
Okay, Claude, that's a good question, right? It's a really good question. Now, I know that you and your assembly are very into the Bible, isn't that right?
Of course. That's what God gave us. He handed us down the Bible. That's what we follow.
And I'm assuming from the name of your communion up there that you are primitive in the sense that you're trying to get back to Bible basics, right?
Of course. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
That's what you people are doing, what you Catholics are doing, or you're making up things as you go along. You're making up things as you go along. You got a whole other set of rules. I don't know what the book is called. You're constantly talking about it. I forget. But you got another book. The Book of
Catechism.
Rules.
It's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What is the Catechism of the Catholic Church? The Catechism of the Catholic Church, Claude, is Bible teachings, church fathers, saints, reflections on the truths of our faith. Okay, so that's all it is. It's a compendium. It's a compendium of different parts, but it's mainly based. It's principally based on scriptures and principally based on the New Testament. Now, you're a Bible-believing Christian. I get it. Let me throw a couple of texts your way, okay? Because this is not the first time that I, as a Catholic, have been asked about infant baptism, all right? I get it all the time.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So I know that you will have read the Acts of the Apostles.
Of course.
And you will know very much what happened, Lydia.
Well, they went around and they baptized the households in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes.
Right. So Lydia is really the first Christian across from Asia Minor in Europe, in sort of modern day Greece. And Lydia welcomes the apostles and she's very glad to hear about them. And she wants to be baptized. Right. And as it says in Acts chapter 16, it talks about she was baptized and her household. Now, do you honestly tell me that the apostles would have baptized everybody in Lydia's household except the children, except the infants?
But it doesn't say anything about infants in the household. It doesn't say there were crying babies in the household who didn't know what was going on. There's nothing about this. And plus, those were different times. Those were different times. I'm sure if they were around today, of course they were. Of course, this is 2023, Mr. Turley. Where are you?
Well, I'm trying to get you back to the first century. I'm trying to get you back to apostolic times here, Claude. So in the same chapter, I'm sure you know this, that Paul and Silas have lots of adventures and the Philippian jailer. Do you remember that bit? And he asked to be converted to the faith and to be baptized that night. Do you remember? He's all worried about everything. And he asked for himself and his household to be baptized. And we are told in scriptures that the same hour of the night, he was baptized with all his family. Now, the scriptures don't say that Mr. and Mrs. Jailer were baptized. They say he was baptized with all his family. Now, I don't know about you, Claude, but I think that means that children were baptized.
You know what, Mr. Turley? You and I have a different view. We just have differing opinions on what this actually is. Because, again, it doesn't say anything about the little babies. It doesn't say anything about, you know, water being poured over the head in the name of, you know, the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anything about this. We still don't know if there were babies in this household. We don't know.
But you guys
are implying something that's not there, Mr. Turley.
Are you perhaps not seeing what's obviously before your eyes?
Last I checked, I'm 2020, Mr. Turley. And you must be off. I'm going to hang up now. I'll call later. I'm going to try to talk to somebody who has sense.
Well, the other thing
I've
I would say to you, Claude,
just
before you hang up, the other thing I would say is have a look at what the early church fathers said about baptism, because they were very explicit. very explicit. People like Origen, St. Augustine. And these are people that most Christian groups, most Protestant groups, accept as church fathers. So if they're accepting them and what they were saying about the early apostolic times of the church, when they were being explicit about infant baptism, then surely that's worth examining as well.
Okay, who is this again? I'm going to write this down. Hold on for just a second.
Well, you might want to check the name of people like St. Augustine on baptism, Origen. That's O-R-I-G-E-N.
O-R-I-G-E-N,
Origen.
Okay.
And St. Augustine. And there's a number of early church councils. I'll just try and see if I can find them. Early church councils where they all started talking about baptism. Let me just give you a quote, Claude, before you go.
Okay, I've got Origen
Council of Carthage in 401 spoke about it. And the Council of Milium.
You're doing too fast. Wait, what is it? The Council of what?
Carthage, the fifth Council of Carthage,
okay.
They talked about it, and the Council of Milium, the second Council of Milium, M-I-L-E-U-M. And these... I mean, there's lots and lots of writings in the early days about the nature of baptism. But remember, the problem for a lot of reformers was not so much the sacrament, because they didn't quite understand it, but the nature of justification, which is about original sin, Claude. Now, if you believe that we are born with original sin, then why wouldn't you want your child to have that mark, to have that wound, if you like, either removed or healed? I mean, do you have any children, Claude?
I have one child, Trevor, and he waited until he was, he's 10 years old. He's 10 years old, and he was 9 when he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior.
Okay, so what do we do with people who are mentally impaired? Do we not baptize those because they can't make a pronunciation, an acclamation publicly about the Lord?
Well, God understands that there's something wrong with them. He made them, after all. He understands.
Well, didn't he make the young children, the young infants, and give them the love of their parents? And what can be the greatest thing, the most loving thing that a parent can do, but to give them the gift of the mark of baptism?
I understand that, but he also gave them a brain. He gave them an intellect, Mr. Turley, so they could accept Christ.
You might be making a very interesting point, Claude, which we can't go into today, but we may speak about in another point, which is this. Baptism is great. We all need to be baptized. Absolutely. Nobody can enter the kingdom without baptism. However, we have to activate our baptism, right? We have to act upon it. We have to allow it to act upon us. So maybe there's some agreement there, Claude. There's just a different way of approaching it. But I'm afraid when it comes to infant baptism, I'm afraid your First Primitive Church of Brooklyn is way out of line with Christian history, Christian tradition, and I would suggest the scriptures.
You know what? I understand you don't have time today, but don't you ever call me out of line. Do you understand? Don't you ever call me or my church out of line. Okay. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to goggle the Origen and the Augustine, like you said. But I'm going to leave it at that. Just know that you're wrong. I'm going to goggle this.
Listen. The hand of Radio Friendship is extended to all the members of the First Primitive Church of Brooklyn, and to you in particular, Claude. And I really, really appreciate you calling in, and I really invite you to call in again. Let's have a discussion about it. I'm not trying to be insulting or anything like that. All I'm saying is that obviously I'm a Catholic. Therefore, I do think that you and your brethren are a little bit out of line, if not a way out of line at times. But we'll have to leave it there for today, Claude. Thank you so much for calling in.
I accept your apology. I'll call in, and I'm going to goggle this old Augustine.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Claude. Lovely talking to you, as always. That's Claude, our listener in Brooklyn. When we come back, we are talking films and how somebody's life was turned around by God and it propelled her further into the film world. Yes, you're going to meet her after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Pregnancy, where we talk everything. We talk eggs, we talk infant baptism, and everything else in between. Now we're turning away from eggs and infant baptism to, but I really do mean it. Do call in 888-928-0881. And the first 20 minutes are open lines. And yes, it is eggs and infant baptism that we talk about. Now, Gabriel's Messenger Films makes inspiring true stories for the worldwide film market, working on films at all stages of production, distribution, and marketing for what they term faith, family, friendly films. Now, Nicole Abbasino is its founder and CEO, and her backstory is interesting to say the least, because Nicole started out as an investment management, working in private equity and hedge funds for 6 years, while simultaneously working as an actress. Yeah, I don't know how that worked, but we're going to find out. Anyway, her current producing career was born out of a merging of these two fields. And eventually she started making her own independent features, where she says she finally found her niche. And she was producing and casting thrillers, action films, art house features, leading to the red carpet at Cannes and on to Russian television, and even being presented with an award at the Sunscreen Film Festival by John Travolta. Yeah, we'll find out all about that in a minute. But, and here's the interesting thing, something changed in her life and it set her off on a totally different course. So let's find out what happened next in the life of Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. I'm here with my amazing co-star.
Wonderful. Hi. Sorry, your co-star's name?
Yeah, Chris Lindsay.
Hi, Chris. Welcome. Chris and Nicole. And are you calling us from, is it Florida you're based in, Nicole?
We are in Florida.
Wonderful. Good. Well, listen, tell me, what is this film company that you're involved in? What's, I mean, I better let you into a secret, Nicole. I worked in the film industry for a number of years in a independent film company, and I have the scars to prove it, if you know what I mean. and when I was reading your bio, I took my hat off to you because you stuck at it for years. So listen, tell me, give me the elevator pitch for Gabriel's Messenger Films.
I mean, you did such an amazing job, so that makes sense that you were in film. You already gave an amazing pitch for the company. But I think that originally, you know, when I was working in Hollywood and Manhattan, and the films that I was doing before were not, you know, they weren't glorifying God. They weren't really changing people's lives in a positive way. And I think that the change for that with Gabriel's Messenger Films was the answer, is that my gifts are not my own. They belong to him. And before, I thought I was just, you know, entertaining people. And I don't think I really understood the power that we have as artists, as filmmakers, as creators. And that's a great power that we have to be very responsible with. And we have to really look at what we're making and what we're putting into the world, because we truly do affect people's lives.
I couldn't agree with you more. Chris, are you, in terms of the company, I mean, Nicole is founder CEO. Are you involved in this company, or are you a jobbing actor, or what's your role?
And whatever I'm blessed to read for or be a part of, she brought me onto the project. But the way it started with me was the way that many actors start, with an audition. And seeing if you're right for it. And after a little bit of time, I got a call from one of her production assistants, and that was the beginning of this journey we've been on.
Wonderful. So talk to me about...
Chris is being his wonderful, humble self. You know, we had done a nationwide search for this particular role for the TV series, The Advocate. And I had something so specific in mind, and it, you know, it's the co-starring role. It has to really be able to carry the show. And we wanted someone who also could represent the show well, and the subject matter to fight predators and trafficking. And Chris had all of that. He had all the elements. He's a very talented actor. But he also, you know, is a great person to be on set with all day. And he was a huge blessing to us, that God brought us for the show.
So is The Advocate, is it a feature film, or is it part of a series, or how does it work?
So The Advocate's a fantastic TV series. We did season one. I'm actually writing season two right now. But season one came out, it was released at Christmas on PureFlix. PureFlix is what we call the clean Netflix. If you don't have it, please get it. It's just amazing. They do fantastic projects. They're owned by Sony. You can get it on your Roku. You can download it, or you can just, you know, go to PureFlix.com. Basically, again, the same as Netflix, but all clean, positive entertainment. It came out at Christmas, and by our surprise, because, you know, we just, you never know how audiences are going to react, it jumped to the top five, the top three, I believe, immediately at Christmas. And it wasn't even, it's not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas TV show. And then it's been in the top five for the past 6 weeks on that platform. And it's also allowed us to reach millions of people, not just with the show, but through the press and the awareness and prevention for, you know, to protect families, really.
Absolutely. I think it's wonderful. I have a bone to pick with PureFlix because, you know, I'm coming to you from the UK, from London. And it's for some reason they don't allow it to come over here, which is incredible. I mean, there are believing Christians in these islands and in Europe, I'm sure, who would love to watch things like The Advocate. But Nicole, going back a little bit, you know, companies like yours, I have a lot of respect for because I was essentially in something very similar this side of the Atlantic. And America is a totally different country in the sense that you have believing people and you have people who want to back faith-based projects. We really don't have that sort of currency over here. But even so, I always would meet people at film festivals and things who were involved in a similar kind of secret network of Catholic filmmakers trying to do something different. And there was a lot of aspiration, but not an awful lot of execution, if I can put it like that. Whereas you, when I was looking at your website, I was thinking, crikey, Nicole has all these TV shows, films, whatever, on the go at the moment. I mean, what has made you stand out from the rest, so to speak?
Oh, wow. Wow, that's such a powerful question. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, doing what you're ordained to do, because after I converted, I actually didn't want to make movies anymore. I wanted to just be in ministry full time and be with the people. And no matter how much I tried to do that, like I, you know, it failed. I mean, I could do it on the side and I could do, but I could never do that as work. Like other people make that their careers. And I think it, you know, God, this was what he called me to do. And so I think there's an anointing in that. And then I've always, you know, come back to it no matter how hard it is and not giving up. And I think you can get very discouraged in this business, in the hard times. And I think that there's a lot of challenges, in the business, but one of the things that I learned along the way was that you have to be partnered with the right people. And number one, God is your boss. So everything has to go to prayer. Everything has to be, do I do this or not do this? You can't just decide what you want to do. So that's part of it, is the discernment. But the second part of it is realizing, you know, I need to be partnered with other people who are doing it for God and doing it for the right reasons. And that's usually where I found that God blesses it, because when I first started, I was like, oh, if anybody wants to invest or do this, it doesn't matter who they are, but it actually does matter. I mean, the Bible is very clear about being equally yoked. You may want to bless something, but if that money is going to go back to doing something that is not of God, there's often a block in that, which I personally had experienced as well.
Did you find, Nicole, that and maybe we'll get into the whole, because I'm fascinated by your journey, because again, and this isn't about me, but the film company I worked for, guess what we shared an office with? A hedge fund manager. So when I saw hedge funds in films, I thought, oh, this sounds very, very similar. But did you find that when you stepped out and you nailed your colors to the mast, did you find that suddenly people would rally to that? Or was it a very lonely experience for a while?
So, you know, it's an interesting question, because when I originally went from, you know, finance and where I was acting to producing, I was not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a believer at all. And so it actually did take off very quickly, very, very quickly. I basically just spent a year of putting bills on my credit cards and taking the risks. Like, I literally put everything on credit cards. That was how our first year, and I worked 20 hours a day. I literally kept my phone in my hand. Even if I fell asleep, I would get up and respond to messages in the middle of the night. I mean, you just do what you need to do. And then we had our first investor, and then it grew from there. But the original reasons that I got into producing had nothing to do with God. It had to do with myself and what I wanted. But I was also kind of fighting. It was for a good purpose. I was fighting the casting couch mentality of Hollywood. That was how I got into it, was I was on set of a Robert De Niro movie, and, you know, the producer had hit on me by offering me a bigger role with Robert De Niro and not realizing what he was actually asking of me. And I remember I was so brokenhearted and so angry. And that was how, like, I went home and I was like, what does that guy do? I'm going to take his job. That was the original purpose. But of course, God uses everything for good in the long run. But it was literally out of just sheer anger that I was going to take the power and that no one was going to be able to try to wield that power over me.
But that's a very sad indictment on the film world, and I'm afraid not something that's new to my ears. But you then moved from a kind of don't get mad, get even mentality, because something else then stepped into the picture, which was your faith relationship, your relationship with God. And that probably changed everything again. But I'm going to pause that, if I may, for a moment, Nicole, because I want to bring Chris in, who's patiently and humbly sitting on the sidelines there. Chris, when did you first meet Nicole?
Well, I mean, the first day that I physically met Nicole was our first day of shooting on the bridge.
you mean it, all your tests had been done via Zoom and Skype and all of that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, Nicole, you probably have a better perspective of the back end of it, but yeah, it was It was really quick, and we it's kind of like, hi, how are you, shaking hands, and then let's get to work.
Right. Well, that's how it's done in Hollywood, folks. You turn up on a film set, and there you go. Bang, you're off and running. But, Chris, can I ask?
This man is a superstar.
He signs it. Listen, Chris, are you a believing Christian as well, like Nicole?
I grew up in a religious household, and it goes back clearly for generations, being from the United States. Yeah, I would say I'm a believer, very spiritual in that sense. I'd say that Nicole's journey has been one that has been, much more reawakening in her adult life. With the things that I've heard from her, and she actually makes me very curious that maybe I need to reevaluate some things in that sense as well, because, you know, nobody's perfect, and we are all on a journey in life. And I'm of the belief that, you know, you have to be open for things, and you can't force someone to be open for it, but that curiosity is what keeps me, you know, it makes it easy for me to, I hope, work with someone like Nicole, work with Gabriel's Messenger as a production team, and speak and portray stories that do matter to people that are of faith. My mother being a very, very big, I don't want to say judge, but someone that expects me to contribute in positive ways and to live a life that, you know, she did garter for me that was based in religion. And my father as well. I'm sorry, Dad, for making it sound like it was all Mom, but both of my parents who were very religious. So I'd say that definitely is something that has been a part of my life. And this journey with Nicole has only made things a little more interesting and made me circle back on things that maybe in my adult life I have taken for granted, to be quite honest.
Even more intriguing, Chris, than I thought. This is getting interesting. Listen, if we were on a film set now, I'd have to shout cut, because we're going to have to take a short break and go and pay some bills at the network. Can you two hang on for another segment?
Certainly.
Sure.
That's fantastic. We're talking to the good people from Gabriel's Messenger Films, and we'll be right back after this. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Exclusive here on Archangel Radio, and I'm in the midst of a fascinating discussion with two people who are really in the thick of it when it comes to filmmaking and TV and that whole exciting world. Nicole Abessinio is the CEO and founder of Gabriel's Messenger Films, but she also stars in The Advocate with Chris Lindsay, and both of them are on the line to me from Florida. Nicole, it was very interesting what Chris was saying just before we went to break there about I suppose indirectly what he's talking about the impact of working in a film production unit, which is Christian or faith-based, as opposed to a secular one, and the impact that has on actors and performers and directors and producers and all the rest of it. Is that something that you're aware of in your work with your film company?
You know, it's very interesting because I've worked on various faith-based projects that that's happened on, where people have, there was one gentleman that completely converted and then he died the next year. He had gone from an atheist and became Christian. We've had a lot of that and a lot of conversions, but I'm surprised to actually hear Chris talk about this on this show. You know, this one wasn't where, you know, we all were kumbaya-ing together, and it was a extraordinarily challenging project. It was an absolute war, because I think of what we were going up against, the principalities that are against us regarding trafficking and regarding, you know, predators and child sacrifice in this country. You know, it's such a big problem. And so we, you know, it was kind of just, you know, put your armor on, and if you don't have any, you're going to get blown to bits, was kind of this show. And so we didn't have the same way that, you know, we could all really be together. It was just like, it's like Chris said, we were working. Everything was work and survival and, you know, getting through it. And it's a testament, because now all these people's lives are changed. Lives are being saved. You know, people are being edified and educated. There's awareness all over the country for millions of people to protect their families on this. But so I didn't really understand any of the spiritual effects, because I didn't really, none of us got the downtime to sit and talk about those things, you know. And now it's, you know, a year later, year and a half later, where I am finding that out, and I am finding out that God was working with everybody behind the scenes. But what I know is that the people that were with us were meant to be with us. And, you know, with Chris, because he said, I don't know how I got there. It's, we had been praying and we were on the search for this lead character, and no one was right. Like, no one was a fit. There was a guy at one point that I thought, you know, maybe he was it, but he wasn't. And so we finally had chosen someone. We just chose someone who was a good actor. And a couple days before filming, he fell out. But we always knew in our hearts that he was not the person. And so when he fell out, he had a conflict on one of the dates, and we couldn't change the dates. And we said, you know, we can't change the dates. The shoot is, I mean, you know, when you're in film, like your locations are locked, everybody is locked. You can't just say, okay, well, you don't have to come in today. And that's how Chris came to us, you know, because you were asking about, you know, how did you get to do this? It's the same thing. It's like Chris was like ordained by God for this role. It was his role, and no one else was going to be able to take it. And what's interesting is I was not supposed to act in this show. I was an actress before, but I've been behind the camera and producing and directing. It was not even any idea in my mind that I would be co-starring in the show. And I had hired 4 actresses for this part, and they fell out until 1 o'clock in the morning the night before the shoot, when we started shooting at 6 a.m. And I said, well, I'm getting up and I'm doing this. You know, we're not stopping. We're not shutting down. And so he and I both were on the fly. And what's amazing is that there was a magic that happened between us. There was a natural chemistry that was there, and a natural relationship that was immediate. And that came across on camera. And we were kind of in the trenches together. And I think that really strengthened our bond. It also came across on screen. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, everything that you're saying with that, I think, again, because you've worked in film, you know that a script can be great, but if two people don't have chemistry on camera, it can be a hard slug. And I can, from the very beginning, Amber has, she has an energy that makes it easy for me to be around her, and I enjoy her company. I do. I think that she's pleasant, and, you know, she's a lovely woman to look at. It. You have to look at her, her energy, her voice, her laugh. You know, even whenever I was going back to look at the episodes later on, I have to say, as a viewer, you know, I felt myself falling for her outside of the character. And that's something subconscious, but it was easy for me to work with her, and I appreciate that's something that, you know, you can't fake that.
You're listening to the voice of Chris Lindsay and Nicole Abestinio, who are stars of The Advocate. And Nicole is also one of the producers on this project. It's really interesting listening to you both, because it's bringing back a lot of memories. Nicole, you were talking, I mean, I get it, right? You weren't sitting around sharing Bible quotes or anything like that. But film
well,
sets...
Well, on other sets, if, they were.
Well, exactly. But my experience of film sets are that they are intense places, right? People work around the clock, often away from home, away from all their normal supports, which gives the opportunity for some pretty bad behavior, or it gives the opportunity for a bit of soul searching. Because a lot of people are thrown together in hotels or whatever for weeks on end, and you don't know these people at the start, but by the end you feel like you're brothers and sisters. Is that your kind of experience of working on The Advocate?
I just think that this was another level. Like, I don't think unless you were there, I don't think... Wow. There's even a way to describe the difficulties. I mean, this is not normal. I've been on so many movie sets, and you're right. There's bad behavior. There's everybody's exhausted. There's stressful situations. But I've never faced where it was literally almost every single day where something was threatening to shut us down.
Wow.
And we didn't, you know, we shot for a long time. We shot for 5 weeks straight. So, first of all, yes, everybody was exhausted. It was a longer shoot for an indie shoot. Our days were long, everything. But what I'm saying is we had crazy things happening that were not normal. And everyone knew that they weren't normal. Like, you had to look at the supernatural, I think, on this set, because it was just bizarre. Like, this much stuff could not be happening to try and stop something.
But you're not thinking
right,
hindsight.
Right, Chris, do you want to speak to that? That was what it was to me. Like, I was aware of what I was going into, but I think a lot of people thought they were just coming for a movie and not realizing how powerful what we were doing was until they're fighting the war. Sure. Chris, I think you're better to speak to that.
Yeah, well, and it really is. I was just doing a very good job of making, and I don't think you're making light of it, but it's hard to encapsulate, encompass what really was a daily struggle with so many things that had to be absolutely perfect, and they were kept becoming occurrences, like day after day, of something or someone or something with rigging or something with this or that. Mm-hmm. all of these trials and tribulations. And I've got to say, one of the endearing things that I feel personally made me closer with Nicole is that she's just such a fighter. She just did so much to go after a dream. And I think it's very commendable that there are people out here in this world that really are trying to make this place better for all of us. Because the amount of, I can't say, the energies or stars kind of falling around us and making craters that we could have fallen into, but she just kept going forward. And I would look at her sometimes and say, I don't know how you're doing it. And then, she would say, cut, as a director, look at herself on the screen on the playback, give herself notes, give everyone else notes, and then immediately get handed a cell phone about the next location or catering or this or that or the next weeks of shoots. And wow. I just looked at her and I was marveled. I was just like, how is this possible? She is a force to be reckoned with, but
I was going to say, Chris, I mean, you're making my mind bounce around here. You're right. I mean, I'm thinking, Nicole, you're directing, you're producing, you're starring. I mean, how come? How do you manage to do all of that? What's the secret?
Well, and that was the thing. It was supernatural grace. It was from God. Like, it's not humanly, I don't think it's humanly possible to do, and it wasn't even, yes, there's other people that, have produced and directed and acted, but it was more than that, because they weren't having that level of challenge and that level of just insanity that was coming every single day. It really was supernatural, and I think most people could see that. We had a girl who was with us on set, and she's not a believer. And I remember she ran in one day, we did something, and when we called cut, she ran in, she said, God did it. And then she caught herself and she goes, I mean, like whoever that is, or a higher power or something. Like but that's my point, is that I think that everybody knew that it wasn't me, that it couldn't have been possible.
So let's just pivot away a little bit from The Advocate for a moment. I mean, as successful as it is and interesting it is, but I'm interested in your film company, Nicole, and your vision for the future. I mean, what's your kind of 2-year, 1-year, 5-year plan for the company? Where do you see it going? How do you see it integrating itself into our entertainment landscape?
Sure. I mean, it's really just a continued journey of, where am I called next and what do we need to be making? I'm actually excited about season 2 for The Advocate, because we do need to keep working and making prevention and awareness and fighting this issue in our country, making sure that everybody knows it and that the children are protected. But overall, it's just about projects that are inspiring and are life changing. I'm working on another one about the longest living person with leukodystrophy, a little girl. It's a muscular dystrophy, but it's always fatal. And she just had her 20th birthday, which is unheard of. And so sharing films on, the miracle working power of God. But I think what's juxtaposed with that is we're making movies on the value of suffering. And I think that a lot of people do, especially now with everything going on in our world and where we're headed and the difficulties that are, that are happening, is I think it's really important to understand the good of suffering. And as humans, we want these creature comforts, right? But I mean, God, he set it up from the very beginning. Like, if we want to be like Jesus suffered the most of all. If you look at all the disciples, everybody that was the closest to God, they suffered. And I think that that's a scary thing for people. And I think sometimes they kind of stay away from God because, what is that going to cost them? Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize and what we want them to realize is that when you are going through trials, it's for your own, not just your own purification and the salvation of working out your soul, but it is a value to so many people. There are so many other people's lives and souls that are saved and changed, You know, that's when we're closest to Jesus, is when we offer up that suffering for the good of someone else. And you can offer suffering for anything. You can offer it for homelessness. You can offer it for lost souls. It doesn't matter what it is. And I think that people get stuck in, why do bad things happen to good people, or why do we have to go through things? And, if they could understand how rich they are in that, and how much power they have in that. So that's where the company is going.
But tell me this, Nicole, because you're a woman with many hats, producing, directing, starring. I mean, going forward, where do you see your career path lying? Are you going to keep doing it all, or are you going to specialize in one particular field of these large fields?
I'm just laughing because, remember, I was only supposed to produce this last show. I wasn't supposed to write, I wasn't supposed to direct, and I wasn't supposed to act. So I have no say over this. You know, it doesn't matter what my plan is. God's plan always prevails. I'm way past. He says God says take every day, one day at a time, and He's gonna order those steps. It's ridiculous for me to think that I can, or that I will, and I don't want to fight Him on it. So wherever He puts me, as long as it's God's work, as long as I'm glorifying Him, nothing else even matters. So. I mean, right now I'm just getting a lot of writing work, so I'm writing a lot. But then next thing I'll be this or that. It doesn't matter. It's just being His instrument, right?
Okay, that's it. So, Nicole, listen, Chris and Nicole, it's been great speaking to you. We're going to go for a break now, I'm afraid. So, Nicole, could you just tell people where they can find out more about you and your filmmaking?
Sure, they can go to gabrielsmessengerfilms.com, or the best would be the Advocate TVSeries.com. That's theadvocatetvseries.com, and check our show out on PureFlix.
Nicole and Chris, can't thank you enough for coming on the show this morning. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you. I hope you'll come back and speak to us when The Advocate is winning its first awards.
I think it's winning. Thank you.
Okay, when we come back, we will be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stay with me here on Archangel Radio.